This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We are so excited to be back. We didn't take last week off, right?
No, we didn't. We were here.
We were here. It was the week before that.
Yeah, yeah.
All my weeks are blending together. Oh, goodness.
We were here and well.
We were here and well. We missed you guys.
We did. What did we talk about last week?
We did something about being an adult. Oh, what we hate about being an adult.
Oh, yes.
Also, house update. I have none. Nothing has been done.
Kizzy has no updates.
But we do have hot water.
She does, finally.
We have hot water.
I was going to tell you starting to smell bad, but... Just
kidding. I've been showering just in the cold. Either at the gym or I just take a cold shower. I just rinse off as, well, if I don't have to wash my hair.
Yeah, that's terrible. I'm sorry.
The day before my hair appointment, I just took a cold shower, but I didn't wash my hair.
You're like, I know I'm
and then wash. Megan washed my hair.
It's literally the best when you have a hair appointment coming up and you're like, I don't have to wash my hair.
I don't have to wash my hair. Yeah. Like, it's literally the greatest thing about having a hair appointment. And then you don't have to like do your hair the next day or anything. But we should be out of our house by Monday. That is like the goal for right now, is to be like in an Airbnb. They said that we can stay in an Airbnb for 2 weeks while they do all of the renovations and stuff. But oh my gosh, you guys, did you know that insurance adjusters are like probably the rudest people that have ever existed on the face of the earth? I had this lady.
Wait, what happened?
I had this lady come. First of all, I have had people in and out of my house literally all day, every day. And everyone has said the exact same things about what needs to get done. So then the field adjuster comes into my house and she is just the absolute worst human that's ever existed. Like I wish I knew her because I would tell her she was awful. But she literally came into my house and started knocking on my hardwood floors and was like, yep, no damage. Like, and she was knocking on my floors in places that there wasn't even water. Like, she was a psychopath. She was psycho. And then she goes, there's literally tools. The plumber was there at the same time. There was tools out everywhere. There was nails on the floor. My kids were following me. There was like drywall on the ground. And I made a comment like something like, yeah, you know, it sucks to live here with kids, you know? And she goes, yeah, but it's fully livable. Like, so condescending and like just so rude. And I was like, no, my kids can't live here. So anyways, she was awful. And I get that like insurance is like kind of a nasty industry. Like, they're literally trying to spend the least amount of money on you as humanly possible. So anyway, that's my little housing update. I'm trying to think about any other updates I have. We're going to Great Wolf Lodge tomorrow.
Oh, Navy's so excited.
Oh, I'm taking Navy with me, which is good because
don't forget that.
Payson will have a little friend and I don't have to play with her the whole time.
Honestly, Navy's so excited.
It's gonna be fun.
A good weekend.
It will be, and I won't be at my house.
Which is great.
Which is a win.
Which is great.
That is the win.
All good things.
Of the day.
All good things happening here.
Do you have any updates on your life?
I honestly don't, and I'm kind of excited. I'm excited about this episode, and it's actually an episode that we've been talking about doing for
like a year.
Like literally like a year. And we were talking about getting our hair done, and that kind of like was a little segue into, you guys, probably most of you know Meg. Meg does our hair, and she's literally the best ever. And Meg, Meg's here with us. Meg's here with us.
I'm here.
She's here. And she is going to tell us her whole story. I want to give a quick trigger warning. Meg lost a baby, and so she's going to tell us her whole story. If you're like local or maybe not local, you've probably seen when she had her baby, people posting and yeah, I feel like it was surfacing. Everyone kind of knew. And I feel like you've shared a lot on Instagram, but I'm excited to have like a space you can like share everything, the whole thing, all the things. And I feel like people will really like, it's a sad episode, but it's an important episode. It's a good episode. And I'm just really excited and happy that you are going to be vulnerable and be here with us today.
I'm excited because I was telling you guys, like, so many people have asked me my story and I don't want to just share it like on Instagram. Yeah, it's too much. It's so like kind of long too, you know?
And that's literally why we have this podcast, is because we've said that a million times. Like, all of us have a story and whatever it is, but like, you don't just want to like go on your Instagram story and talk for a minute. And like, that's not a space big enough and a space that like is like sacred enough to like go and share that. It just doesn't feel off. Yes, yeah. It feels off.
The other thing too, I was talking to Meg about this the other day at my hair appointment, is like, even though it like really hurts now and like it probably will hurt like always, but it'll be really nice to have a place where you could go back and listen to those emotions that you felt, you know, in 10, 15 years, whatever it is down the road, like you'll have somewhere to like listen to your story again.
Right.
So,
and to see like how much has changed and how your grieving has changed. And yeah, I don't know. I'm just, I'm thankful for you for being here and being willing.
Thank you guys. Cause it's true. I was telling my husband, I was like, I haven't like talked about it, and it'll be good to have a spot where I can remember all the details. Cause even though it's been just over a year, I've already forgotten some of them, you know,
completely,
probably because it was traumatic. So it's like,
your brain is protecting itself, but it's also, Okay. So why don't we jump into it? Why don't you tell us how getting pregnant was, kind of like your pregnancy?
Okay, so we started trying for a baby. It was kind of weird. Like, I thought my whole life, I just had this feeling it was going to be hard for me to get pregnant. Like, I always knew it wasn't going to be a walk in the park.
I feel like I hear that from women sometimes. Yeah. Like, they kind of know.
Yeah. And so we started trying December of 2021. For a baby. And luckily it wasn't, you know, I feel like month four and is kind of where it starts to get disappointing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally. Yep.
When you're like, okay, why isn't this working? Yes.
Like the first couple months you're like, okay, maybe like, you know, we just missed the day or like,
I feel like three like makes sense in my head.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, okay, 3 months, we'll give it 3 months, no panic. And then you hit that fourth month and you're like, what's happening?
What's going on? Like, what's wrong?
Yes. Completely.
So we kind of hit that, and then I was starting to get frustrated about it, but my husband was like starting school. So we got pregnant the last month that in our minds made sense for us to get pregnant, because he was going to have
Isn't that what always happens?
Break. Yes, always.
It's like, okay, this is the last month we could.
Yeah.
And then it happens.
Yeah. So we ended up getting pregnant. We found out in the end of May of 2022, and then with Nash, and then we got, like, he was due in January, and it was like perfect timing. My husband was going to have 8 months to be kind of home with him.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Like, and before he would go into like full-time school. Yeah. So we were like, this is great. Like, at the end of the day, you know, you kind of sit back and you're like, oh, like, God's timing.
This is working out.
Yeah.
God's timing.
Like, yeah, no, this is great. Yes, this is all part of the plan. And so it was like finding out we were pregnant. We were both shocked because I wasn't expecting it to happen, but we were like over the moon. It was just the best.
And how news. How soon did you find out he was a boy?
I did that sneak peek test.
You did.
You did it.
Yeah, like immediately after. I think I did it at 7 weeks. But it's funny because before we got pregnant, we had our year anniversary, and we went on a big trip and to Mexico, and my husband was like, let's just buy this little dress. Like, we thought for sure it was going to be girls.
Really?
A girl. Yeah. So when we found out it was a boy, I was not at all disappointed, but I was just shocked. He comes from all girls. I'm adopted, but it's all girls. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we just thought it was going to be girls. But
I feel that.
Yeah. But when we found out it was a boy, we were like, so he was so excited. He was like, I mean,
every boy is yeah. so every boy excited wants to a have boy. A son.
And I like, I actually vividly remember being at your salon and you telling me like, it's a boy. And I feel like sometimes girls are a little bit more disappointed, but I genuinely felt like you were so excited.
Yeah.
Like you were like, it's a boy. Like I'm so excited.
Yeah. And my sister-in-law had just had a boy right like a few months before and just seeing like just their special little bond. They just love their moms. Yep. It's so sweet. And then I just, you know, and that's the thing is after I found out it was a boy, I'm like starting to listen to like all this like music that's, you know, like boy mom things. Yep. And I'm like sobbing in the car.
You're like, I love it.
No, literally I could sob any point in time about Pierce. Like it's just your heart. Like, I don't know. It's just.
Why? I don't know. It's kind of weird. Cause then I would tell Chandler that all the time. I'd be like, I'm going to be like a crazy mom. Like when they start to date.
I'm like really trying to not be.
Kenzie's trying so hard.
The way that I have been viewing it is I don't get as much time with him as I will get with Payson. Payson's always going to need me.
Yeah.
My girl will always need me. I go to my mom all the time. Does DJ go to his mom? Nope.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I have to just smother him until he leaves.
One day he
won't want me anymore. Payson will always need me.
Yeah.
Like Payson will, you always need your mom.
A little daunting.
Yeah, no, that scares me. No,
Jamie's like, I have three.
Shoot. Yeah, no, they're always going to need you. But like, I'm like, I have to smother him. So that way when he leaves, I got just as much love as possible.
I literally just laugh every time I'm like, you're crazy.
And then I'll let him go. And I'm going to be such a nice mother-in-law. And I'm not going to be crazy. And it's going to be fine.
We're going to try. Be fine. No, yeah. So we were so excited for him. Just in general, like that was, we picked his name so early.
You did. I was going to say you picked his name so early and mm-hmm. I love his name.
Yeah. We kind of went back and forth. You know, when you're like picking a name, so his original name, which I'll say, cause we're not going to use it again, but it was going to be Nash Warner Nicholas, but then when he was born, we named him after my husband, which he did not want to do at all.
Really?
Yeah, because he's named after his dad, and that's his first name. And so he's like, it was always confusing.
That makes sense.
Uh-huh. So he was like, he just didn't feel like he wanted to. Even now, it was like my call. I was like, no, we're naming him after you. And he tells me all the time, he's like, why did we do that? I'm like, it's sentimental.
It's your son.
Yes. Yeah, so, but we picked it really early, and everyone always thought that we picked it because of Steve Nash.
Yeah. That's why
Phoenix Suns.
That's why we liked the name.
And we liked it because of that too. And we totally played into it. Like I have still in our house, we have like a little spot, and it's like we have like three Nash jerseys.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that's so cute. And we buried him with one of them too. And then we actually got it because my husband served his mission in Africa, and one of his like area presidents was Elder Nash. And he like special. Loved it.
That's
so he like wrote cool. it in his journal that he loved that name.
I didn't know your husband served in Africa. That's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, kind of fun fact. Yes, but fun fact. That was why. That's where
so how was your
from.
Pregnancy?
It was so normal. And you know, the first time mom thing, this is like the whole situation. You're just going into it completely blind.
Yep.
You have no idea what's happening.
Yes.
You're just like growing a human. I was not sick at all. I felt pretty
you
good.
I came in to get my hair done on your due date.
Yes.
You literally worked like literally you were working.
The whole time.
And like as a hairstylist, you are on your feet all day
every time
long.
I left, I'm like, oh, I want to like go give her a foot massage. I feel so bad.
I was working 3 days a week, full days. So we were grinding and I was like totally fine, which I was such a blessing because my husband was working, but he was still like, he was doing school online. And so like we were like saving for our house, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like all the things.
You
so I was like, I was just grinding and it was great. But, I was really fortunate. I seriously think with him, I got sick one time. The boy pregnancy was a dream. My skin was glowing. My hair was growing. I was like, this is great. Why am I not pregnant all the time?
You're like, no, this is amazing.
I felt like that with Pierce.
You did? Loved being pregnant.
I gained 7 pounds with Pierce my whole pregnancy. Like,
okay, I did not have that.
No, but like all I wanted was like you were healthy food. Like he made me like healthy.
Kenzie was like, she was like, yeah, I just like really want to snack on like cold veggies. I'm like,
I would like pre-portion like to-go containers of like cucumbers and carrots and ranch. So I could go in my fridge and eat them whenever I wanted. Oh my gosh, it was bizarre. Really, but yeah, my skin was glowing. Yeah, yeah. I didn't have that.
I had the. I was like eating pizza. I think I gained 60 pounds with NASH. That was the flaw of that pregnancy. I was like, holy crap, I am just putting it on. But I wasn't sick, so it was like,
let's do it.
You know what? You're starving. Like this is the I
ate at least 3 donuts a day with Payson.
Oh. And a bag of Tootsie Rolls, minimum.
I loved Tootsie Rolls. I would make DJ go to the Maverick down the street at midnight.
And you'd get Tootsie Rolls.
Okay, you made Justin get you cereal at midnight.
I did cereal.
That is so funny. Yeah, mine was definitely pizza with him.
But I love pizza, that. Yum.
It was good. So I ended up getting down, like everything was totally normal with his pregnancy until I think 36 weeks is when things kind of started to like go downhill. And I remember my first scare with him. I like got home from work. I'd worked all day. He was pretty active, you know,
like even being on your feet and stuff. Sometimes they say that's like a little less, like you don't notice it because you're moving, but
yes, exactly. But I would feel him at least shift. And I remember I like got in the shower. It was like 8 o'clock at night. And usually when I'd get in the shower, I'd crank it and like steam it and he would kick. Like I would feel him move. Like he wasn't. So I remember I like got out of the shower and I went and told Chandler, I was like, he's not really moving.
Oh, and that's like
the worst feeling.
That feeling is so scary.
So scary. And so I was like, he's not really moving. I'm gonna like drink some juice and I'm gonna call my mom and like see what we should do. And so I had pulled out like the ball at that point. So I started bouncing on the ball and like
pulling out the big guns.
Yes. Yeah, like drinking the sugar drinks. I was Googling, which is the worst thing you can do when you're pregnant, but also like kind of helpful. Yeah, so it's like telling you worst case scenario.
Yeah. You're like, I can't feel my baby moving.
Yeah.
And then you just get this Google search.
Yes.
Like not helpful.
Yeah. Not helpful at all. My mom was like, just go in. Like
you will not regret it.
You'll never regret it. And she was like kind of emotional on the phone. She was like, just go in. So I was like, oh, this is serious. But in my head, I wasn't even thinking something would go wrong. So we ended up going in and
to the hospital.
Okay. And I told them, and I was so nervous at this point, partially because of like how like my mom had reacted to it. And so, but they like put the band on, found his heart rate. And it was fine. It was like
and his heart rate was like good.
Normal. Yeah. They did the stress test.
Yep.
Okay.
He checked out. Everything was fine. It was like they put the bands on and immediately he started kicking. And I was like, oh.
You like got that feeling.
Yes. Yes. And then they charged my insurance like literally $1,000. We got the bill in the mail for this freaking test. So then in my head, when I got that like a week later, I was like, oh, that was not a waste. But my head, I was like, oh, that was kind of a waste.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, like he was
why would I go in?
Right.
Like, why do people go in just to pay stupid money?
I feel like you like the first time mom of feeling just like
stupid.
An idiot.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, of course you're in. Like,
Why, don't make first time moms feel dumb for having an intuition.
Yes.
Like there's the one place you should be if you're stressed, go to the hospital.
Yeah.
But like you walk away feeling so dumb.
I felt so dramatic. Like I was like, okay.
And you're like not that girl.
Yeah.
No, you're not at all. No.
And it was like 10 o'clock at night. I don't know. And I was like so nervous, you know?
Yeah.
So when it was just like immediately they found it, I was like, I am so.
You're like, okay, we're good.
Awesome. Yeah. So then after that though, like I remember the next week. So I was driving to my 37 week appointment. Also, I was a little bit frustrated because I had called. So we live out like 30 minutes away from where my OB is at.
Yes.
And so we had gone to the hospital closer to our house. But prior to that, I had called my OB's office, like the on-call nurse.
Yep.
And they're like, okay, I'll call your OB and like, we'll get back to you. And they never got back to me, which was fine. But like,
for decreased fetal movement, they didn't get back to you.
No, they never called me back. And so when I went in at 37,
psychotic.
Crazy.
So we'll get back to you. That's not a getting back matter. Yeah. That's like actually life.
They should have just told me to go in.
Yes. Yes.
So I was glad that someone told me to. But when I went into my next 37 week appointment, like my doctor had no idea that I had gone into the hospital until I had mentioned it, like that I had a scare. He was like, oh, you did? I was like, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And no
That's
one advised
strange
you?
Because like, they're supposed to call your OB. Mm-hmm. When I had my miscarriage, I went to the hospital and the next day, my old OB office who delivered Pierce, like 2 years before, called me and they were like, the hospital sent this over.
Yeah.
Like that's odd that the hospital didn't, I mean, maybe they did and your doctor missed it, but that That doesn't make you feel great.
Nurse should have let them know that you had called.
Yeah.
Like,
no, that's insane.
It was weird. It was really weird. I thought that was annoying. So
did you get an ultrasound at 37 weeks?
Yeah. So when I told him that the movement had decreased, he was like, okay, well, we'll like do an ultrasound. And it's interesting because I remember driving to that appointment. And again, you know, my whole pregnancy, and I feel like I should mention this because I've heard a lot of people that have lost babies say this, but I could not picture bringing him home. Like, I would say, like, it feels surreal. You know what I mean? Like, I seriously was like, I just feel like, I told people I felt like a surrogate. I felt like I wasn't getting a baby at the end of it.
I remember you saying that.
Yes. Like, I told all my clients that. I was like, I just feel like I'm not getting a baby at the end.
And, like, people probably chalked it up to, like, well, you're a first-time mom. Of course you don't know what it feels like to bring a baby home.
Yeah. Like, that's normal.
Yeah, but, like,
mother's intuition.
Hindsight.
Hindsight now, I'm like, I don't know if that was God's way of trying to prepare me.
Yeah.
Or if it was just knowing something was going to go wrong.
Right.
So driving to that appointment, I remember exactly where I was. I was like 5 minutes away from my house and I had the thought come in like, what if they would have told me that my baby didn't have a heartbeat at the hospital? And I like started crying and I started like, I was like role playing this in my head, right?
Yes.
And then I was like, why am I doing this? He's fine. Everything's fine. Like I just let it go.
You had just gotten an ultrasound and the ultrasound was completely fine.
Everything's fine.
Like they were like, he's moving, he's fine.
So I just shoved it away. I was like, that's so stupid.
Like they told me he's fine.
And at this point, I don't know about you guys, but like I hadn't heard of anyone having a stillborn.
Oh.
Hardly, very rarely. I'd heard someone 9 years before
and
me.
And not someone like close to you.
No.
Or like someone young and healthy and like has had like a great pregnancy.
Yeah.
You're like, why would that happen?
No.
Like but my pregnancy's been great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you like talk yourself out of it. You're like, no, everything's been fine.
And you're like, that wouldn't happen to me.
Yeah. I didn't even know what the term stillborn was. Like, I had no idea at that point what, like, that was even a possibility. So then fast forward, you know, week after week, I was just telling you guys, he was big.
38 weeks came.
38 weeks
came.
Were you
still like, he's not moving that much?
And every time I told him that, because I would mention that, I was like, I don't really feel him move that much. But, and they'd say, oh, he's running out of room. You know what I mean? Like the typical. And that's what they say at the end because partially true.
Partially true.
They are. He was measuring at 38 weeks. He was measuring like 8.5 pounds. So they're like, oh, you know, it could be any day. Got a membrane sweep. Nothing happened.
How far along were you when you got that done?
At 38 weeks. And then I was like asking my doctor, I was like, can you put me on the like induction list? And for some reason he wouldn't. And I think it was just because I was a first time mom. And so they're like, oh, like if there's not like a medical reason, like you should just let your body do it.
Yeah, let your body do it.
And I had intentions to go natural.
Yes.
And he knew that.
Yeah, you were taking hypnobirthing.
I was taking hypnobirthing.
Yes.
And so I had told him like, I kind of want to see if I can do it, but I'm also not against epidural.
Right.
So he knew that, which I'll give him credit. Like that was on me. Like I was like, I kind of want to see if my body does it.
If you get induced, it's a lot harder to go like unmedicated.
Unmedicated.
Because your body's just,
exactly.
Yeah.
So then, you know, 39 weeks rolls around, same thing. I'm like, not really feeling him a ton, but I would feel him here and there. And then I was they changed my due date from February 1st to January 26th at my anatomy scan.
Okay.
But like speculation, it was just because of his size. He was so ahead.
They were like, he's measuring bigger.
Bigger.
Than what you
So the nurse changed it. And so I worked on January 26th.
That's literally. When I was there.
Yep.
And you were like, I'm 40 weeks.
Yeah. I'm 40 weeks pregnant. Yep. And then.
And you were like, I'm trying to get on the induction list. Like, I remember you telling me that. I'm like, you probably should. And you're like, yeah, he's huge.
Yeah. And I was over it. You get to the end and you're over it.
You were over it.
My stomach felt like it was hitting like my mid thighs because he was so low too.
No, Meg, I remember being like, there's no way that she can get bigger.
Jamie would feel like she was like falling out of her.
Yes.
Yes. Like with Rossi, I was like, she's about to fall out of me. Like you feel.
That's
like
what I thought. I'd sneeze and I'd be like, is my
water breaking?
Yeah. Is my water breaking?
Is he coming out?
Yeah. What's happening? Yes. So that happened. And then I went in on the 30th. So four days later.
To your doctor.
Yeah, to my doctor for just the appointment. And he was like, okay, fine, we'll induce you tomorrow. And I had told him, so this appointment
were you dilated? Like, did he check dilated?
Yeah, I was effaced, 100% effaced, and I was dilated to like a 2.
Okay.
But nothing was really happening.
Right, right.
And I actually, so I remember telling him that appointment, I went in by myself. At the time, Chandler was working at a car dealership, so he was kind of MIA, like he couldn't come to everything. Mm-hmm. I'm really grateful that he was fine that appointment because I was alone, so that would have been really hard. But I remember thinking in my head, like I told him, I was like, he's not really moving. This has been happening now for 4 weeks. I'm like I'm so nervous. Stressed, just like every freaking day. Induce me. Yeah. Like, let's just get this rolling. And he's like, okay, well, let's take a look. So he does like a 5-second ultrasound. My doctor is like kind of old school and like very, like I never waited, really quick appointments in and out. But at the time, I'm just like, that's normal.
You're like, okay,
this is normal.
Yeah.
This is fine. So he does the ultrasound. He's like, okay, look, there's the baby's heart right there. I'll put you on the list. You should get a call tomorrow to come in. Fast. Yes. And this is something too that I will talk about in my grief, but I literally had the thought. I stood up after that appointment. We booked the time that I was supposed to go in. I was walking out. They were walking me to the front, and I had the thought, like, you should have asked him to check his heart rate. And I just
they didn't check his heart rate.
Well, they just showed me on the monitor, like, here's his heart, here's the beat. But it was seriously like a 60-second ultrasound, and I had that thought, like, you need to go back and tell him to like check his heart rate, like do a test, like a stress test.
Yeah.
But I had already had the scare and I felt stupid. I didn't want to like question my old doctor that supposedly like is about to retire. That's been doing this for years. And I'm a first time mom.
And you've relayed your concerns multiple times and they kind of brushed them under the rug. Right.
And I'm getting induced tomorrow in the morning.
Yeah. We're okay till tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Like we can. Yeah. Yeah.
So I brushed that off, and it was like a slight thought. It didn't like sit very long, but then I went to Target, got my last minute stuff, went home, packed my bag, and we were supposed to go at 8 a.m. the next morning on the 31st of January. So, you know, typical, it gets pushed back. They don't have a bed for me. It gets pushed back. So from 8 a.m., I didn't go in until 10 p.m. that night.
Oh my God, you felt him move that day.
And that's the part that is hard too, because I wasn't paying attention.
You're like, I'm getting induced.
Because I'm getting induced. And so we were like running around. We went and got lunch. We thought we were going in the afternoon. Then they canceled. Then we went and got Sonic. And then they finally called at like 9 o'clock, like, you can come in. And so we like walked into the hospital, everything normal. And like on the way to the hospital, we like called our family, told them we were going. It's like, you know, exciting. Yes, you're like so excited. I'm like listening to all the songs that I had like thought I was going to play while I was like, birthing this child. Yep. Naturally.
You're like getting into the mindset completely.
Yeah. Like trying to get into it. I was just like super emotional too. Cause like, it's just, you know, like you get to the end of your pregnancy and you're just like, this is it. Like we're going to meet our baby that we've wanted so bad.
Like it's surreal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we get in there and they check us in, and the nurse comes in and, you know, she's like, okay, undress, here's your gown, whatever, put this on. I made Chandler take a picture of me from the foot of the bed.
Were you in triage?
No, this was after, so we got moved to our actual room.
You're like,
I didn't even go to triage because I just had a bed.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Because they knew you were coming.
Yeah.
And it was late at night.
And it was late at night. So we didn't even do the triage thing. And
taking videos of you.
We were taking a video. I posted it.
Like,
just ignorant bliss.
I just like every time I see that video, I just can't. I literally bawl. I can't. Like I'm like, oh, you're like so excited.
So excited. And then they come in, the nurse comes in and is like, she's like, oh, I've just started. So she's new. So I knew that right off the bat. And I had an anterior placenta. So it's hard sometimes to find his heart rate. I didn't think anything of it. She's like moving the thing. She's like, I'm going to go get a charge nurse just to help me hook it up. She's like, is it usually hard to find? And I was like, yeah, not out of the ordinary. Wasn't thinking anything bad at this point. Then the charge nurse comes in and just like trying. And I literally looked at my husband, like not even an emotion in my face. I was like, there's no way. Like there's literally no way we're this unlucky.
I literally just was at the doctor.
Yeah. And I seriously said that. I was like, I just was like in shock. Right.
And they hadn't said anything yet.
No, but because they can't. But I knew at this point, I was like,
only the doctor can.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But the charge nurse left and I was like, I think I just felt him. Like, I think he's fine. It's fine. It's
like
fine.
Like you're like psyching yourself out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's starting to like panic, Chandler. Right? Yeah. Chandler's starting to panic and he's like pacing the room. But both in our heads, we're like, there's no way that this could be his reality, like, or our reality. And like, so.
Like, you hear about this stuff. Yeah. This isn't us.
No, it's not us. And So they bring in the ultrasound person and she's doing an ultrasound, and I will never forget. And I still have anxiety to this day, but she starts doing the ultrasound and it's just still, just no movement. It's dead quiet in the room. 2 minutes later, the OB walks in and he's talking to her. And at this point I'm like crying, 'cause I know there's no heartbeat. They haven't said it yet, but I just am like,
you're like scared out of your mind.
Yeah. And our Chandler is like starting to get emotional, and I'm like, oh my gosh. But in my head at this point, I didn't think like, oh, I just lost my baby yet. It hadn't hit.
Yes.
My doctor's like, you know, I'm so sorry. Like, sometimes we don't know what happened, but there's no heartbeat. And immediately I was pissed. I was like, well, can you get it back? Like, I was like,
get him out and like,
yeah, I'm like, can you like, no, that's what I asked him. Like, my first words to him, I was like, can you pull him out and like resuscitate him? Like, what are you talking about?
What are you saying? There's got to be like a solution.
Exactly. And I was in my head too. I'm like, okay, I'm supposed to be keeping him alive. So he's somehow still connected to me, but you're telling me his heart's not beating.
Like, what are you saying?
Yeah. It was just like this like disconnect. And it was like almost like in slow motion, this whole situation is happening. And I like remember looking at Chandler and I just was like, I can't do this. Like we really can't do this. You know what I mean? And sorry, every time I tell this part, you're always fine telling the story. And then when I go back to it, I'm like, oh my gosh, like how did we survive this? Like, how did we survive this trauma? But yeah, so we called my parents who lived like 5 minutes away. They come. Chandler called his parents. At this point, again, remember, it's like 11 o'clock at night.
Yes.
So.
And they have said there's no heartbeat at
this
point.
Yeah. So we know. So I call my mom. They get there immediately. His parents live in Sholo. So I always feel so horrible. So he told them, he's like sobbing. They're like, we're on our way. They like get in the car, drive through the night. At this point, I'm like, they tell me I have to deliver him. And I was like, well, can you just do a freaking C-section? I was like, can you just get him out? And it wasn't like a disassociation of like, I don't want to see my baby. It was just like, I can't
like I'm supposed go to through this. And like go through this?
Yeah. I was like, I have to birth him. Like that was my thought process. Like I was like, I have to like give birth to a non-living child. Like I was so scared.
Your mind is
for
just
that.
Like, what is like, yeah. What is happening?
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Terrifying. Terrifying. And
every mom's absolute worst nightmare.
Yeah, the worst nightmare. So they move me to a different room so that I'm not all around like the babies crying and like people like giving birth. So they put me like in a like more of a secluded room. They gave me Ambien, which I don't know if you guys have taken Ambien.
Mom has.
They gave it to me during Payson's labor.
Did you? Did it just knock you out?
It, I wish it did. Okay. No, I was just exhausted and I had to deliver her with Ambien in my system.
Which it kind of makes you loopy.
Very loopy.
Like I was so dissociated. I remember they gave me a few of those. I took them. I passed out sometime in the night. Like my in-laws got there. My parents were there.
Like a blur.
It was like kind of a blur. And I honestly don't remember anyone leaving. I just remember them like being there and like sitting on the couch with Chandler. And I'm like, I remember waking up the next day, don't even know what time. And I remember being like, okay, I'm starting to have pain. Because at this point, they had pumped my Pitocin, but they hadn't given me like the epidural yet.
Oh, okay.
So I had woken up like.
But the Ambien probably helped you not feel
pain. Yeah, I was just sleeping through it. And so then they come in, they give. At this point, I was like, just give me the epidural. Like, I just want to make this as painless as possible. Got the epidural, wasn't really working. So then I made them come back and they like did it again, I think. Again, it's kind of out of this at this point. Or they came and like gave me more, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And then I just remember like waking up, so TMI, but you're just like, you just get that railing to push.
Yep, yep.
And I told my mom, I was like, I don't want to do this. Like I was so pissed that I had to like still labor. Like, I just wanted him out, and I just wanted to, like, see him. But I didn't want, like, the going through the pain of, like, what I – because, two, you're scared to give birth.
Yes. Terrified.
Like, everyone's nervous about it. You have no idea what to expect. And so I just – the whole time, I was like, I don't want to do this. Like, I think that's, like, the only word that I said the whole time. And so – and it's, like,
were
kind of –
were you still, like, crying, or were you just kind of, like
– I was just numb.
Numb.
I was just numb. And – part of me too was like, so once I started pushing, I actually only pushed for 30 minutes. And somewhere, like, I feel, and my mother-in-law, she's like, so this is funny, but my dad, my father-in-law were in the room behind my head. Right. But they were in the room. My mother-in-law and my mom were there. Like, everyone was there for, like, while I'm pushing out.
And that wasn't the plan?
No.
It was just going to be you and Chandler.
It was just going to be me and Chandler, maybe my mom. That was like kind of what we were going for, but they were nice enough to let them stay. So they, it was fine. But my mother-in-law was like, I just wish you could have like being in, I'm so glad we were able to be there, because she's like, it was like, you could just feel like there was so many people in the room. Like you, it just felt so, and I felt that too, because seriously, I'm like, I like just felt like there were people surrounding me, like helping me push this baby out. And I was crying like when I was delivering him, but I was also excited to see him, even like, though I was terrified to see him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause I thought he was going to look like not okay.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so, anyway, it took me 30 minutes to push him out, and it was really quick. He was 9 pounds, 22 inches long, just a big baby, a big baby. And he was like, beautiful. And I was so grateful that I like saw him in like a beautiful light. Sorry, I'm like all emotional, but that was so hard to like see your baby. Like his eyes just were like I never got to see his eyes. I even told Chandler that, and this is so dumb, but I was like, I never got to see like his little butt. Like I didn't turn him around. Like I was so nervous to like look at his body because I didn't want to remember him. And like when they're in there, like their skin kind of starts to peel back. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't want to like remember it like that. So they took him and they like wrapped him up in a swaddle and like brought him back. And we invited all of our family that was like local to come and meet him, cause I didn't know what was going to happen. And, but we got to spend, so I had walked into that hospital at 10 PM the day before on the 31st. And I walked out at like 9 p.m. the next day. So I was literally in the hospital for 24 hours.
Did you want to leave?
Yes and no. And my husband is going to school to be a mortician. He had worked at a mortuary. He had worked for people that transported bodies. Kind of like a lot of things that like weaved into this. So leaving him there, like I spent the whole day holding him. We tried to take pictures because that's what everybody said. They're like, take pictures.
Like you're going to want them even though it's so hard.
Yes. And to people that like, if you're listening to this and someone you know is going through it, like, and you're close with them, like offer to go take pictures and like good ones. Cause I only have the ones on my phone and it's no one's fault.
Because in your mind, you're like, I'm not going to invite a random photographer here.
But I actually had a birth photographer and I texted her, like she's the first person I texted. I was like, don't come. But I wish, and she even told me she was pregnant, so I didn't want to like do that to her.
But
she also was like, later on, she was like, I wish you would have just let me come because I would have loved to take them for you and like still had those. And I had brought my camera, so my sister-in-law had taken some, but just like, I wish I would have taken more detailed pictures of him. And
was his face just so cute?
He was so cute. You know, newborns kind of sometimes aren't as cute,
yes,
but he looked like a 3 month, probably because of his size, but he literally looked like a 3 month old baby,
like just that
out of the womb. Baby. Yeah. I was just like, this is crazy. But, yeah, so we spent the time with him, and then the hospital, we left him, which
did
was
they,
the worst
they, like,
feeling.
Try to take him, or were they just like as much time
as much time as you wanted? I could have stayed overnight, but at that point too, I was so uncomfortable.
Was he starting to like?
He was starting to change.
Yes, yes.
Which Chandler told me that was going to happen because he had been around it, and so they were like, and he was like, "You just want your last memory of him to be not that." Yeah. And so I was like, "Yeah, you're probably right." So, and I knew I was going to see him again because Chandler had made a call to his old boss that worked at a funeral home. And so he was going to let us like come see him and then take him up to be buried, which we buried him in Sholo. And so long story short, the guy that Chandler used to work for transportations was the person that got the call to transport him.
Oh.
And he like sent Chandler a really nice text that night and was like, we have your baby. And he's beautiful, and we're taking him to the funeral home. And, like, at this point, too, like, I was starting to get angry. Like, yeah. I was just, like, I felt numb. I was tired, but I was, like, I just was, I was like, how is this happening? Like, and I still looked pregnant. So I was like, he's not in there anymore. Like, this is just happening.
Like,
and
I'm
so
home with all the same things, but like, where's my baby?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, your milk comes in and you're like, I'm leaking and my mom's trying to wrap me with cat. Like, I just felt like completely, people were just taking care of me. People were showering me. My mom was wrapping my boobs. Like, it was just.
And you're just like, what?
I'm like, what's happening? Yeah, I was just like so out of it for like a month.
Did you like on your, I feel like, was your drive home like one of the hardest things?
Yeah, and
like.
Yes, and my mom and them had like taken out, they took our car home. My mother-in-law drove us to our house and they stayed with us for a few days. And they put all the stuff that I had had out into the nursery and just kind of like shut the door, which I asked them to do. Some people don't like that, but I didn't want to see it. And so anyway, just like we ended up burying him in Sholo on top of my husband's grandpa. 4 days later, he was born on the 1st. And we had his funeral. I say like funeral, cause it wasn't really a funeral. It was just like family. Like 4 days later.
And you're like, I have to plan my baby's like funeral.
Yeah. In hindsight now, I wish I would have done it differently. And I like will share this so other people have. But like, I wish I would have let my friends come see him. So they don't embalm babies. But just because they're too small.
Okay.
And so his boss, though, had put like had cleaned him up and like had put some kind of cream on him that brought the color back in. So which he didn't have to do that at all. But he did it for us. And so when we went and picked him up, I was like, oh, he kind of looked better than what he looked in the hospital. And I got to like hold him. And this is where people are like, oh, like,
you have to see him again.
Yeah. You got to because there's pictures of us holding him in my mother-in-law's house or like on their front porch, but we got to carry him the whole way up to Sholo.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to carry him all the way up there,
which was so healing for me. Cause I was just like, I was nervous to see him, but once I saw him, I was like, it was like a relief of like, okay.
Yes. No matter what, that's still mine.
Yes, he's still mine. And I like packed his bag of like the stuff we were going to bury him in. And like we changed him at my mother-in-law's. And I just remember having the thought of like, oh, like this is like, I made Chandler go back and get his bag. Like I was like, these were things that I was just like excited for. And so I was excited to like still have the chance to be able to do them. And like, but like I said, I wish I would have maybe invited. I seriously, it was like our parents, our siblings, and that was pretty much it. And I wish I would have invited like more of my friends to come and like see him, or my cousins to come and see him. But I was so, no one holds against me, which is nice. But I just was so disassociated that I just let kind of everyone else handle it. And that was that situation. And it was a really pretty service. And I also was like worried about where we were going to bury him. So it was nice to have him buried in Sholo like with family. Cause that was part of it. Like I couldn't like bury him by himself. I didn't want to, like I was nervous.
Well, and all of Chandler's family's there. So it's like, he's not alone. Like he's not just like at some random place in Gilbert. It's like, he's with like, it's a small place. Yeah. I feel like that would be like a little.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
And so that was just like, I mean, in a nut, like in like a, that is his complete story. And then it was a year of, quite honestly, hell afterwards. But
so you guys got to hold him. And then I remember you telling me at a hair appointment, you guys got to like put him in the casket, didn't you? And like have that.
I held
final...
him during the whole funeral. And then, yeah, we set him in the casket. And my father-in-law had made it like from hand, which was so nice. I know. My mother-in-law told me, she was like, that was the most wholesome like wood session he's ever had. Cause you know how like they're like are blasting music, but he just like did it in silence. Aww. And he was like, it was just like a peaceful thing. And I'm glad that he, like they had something to like give for him too. Cause it was really hard on my parents. It was really hard on my mother-in-law. Took it really hard. Because, again, like, nobody thinks of that.
Well, that's their grandbaby.
Yeah.
Like, I think my mom likes the grandkids more than she likes us. Yeah. Like, 100%.
Yeah, and everyone knew, too, how, like, and not that we had tried long. It was, like, 6 months. But just, like, that we had wanted still, it yeah. so bad, you know. But, yeah.
Have you, like, are you angry about, like, how many times you went into the doctor and told them you felt like something was wrong? Like, did that take a minute to kind of...
Yeah.
Get that anger to go away. I remember talking to you about, and you were not happy, obviously.
I was pissed.
But,
I was so mad.
That's valid.
Yeah.
But do you feel like those feelings of anger have gone away?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like afterwards it was like survival mode, right? And then it's kind of like, you know, they say grief is like in stages. And that was really true for me because I was broken and people were taking care of me and I had so much support. I like when I got home, we had just moved into a new house, like to a new ward. We had so, I don't even know who was showing up to my house. I don't even know the packages that were showing up, the flowers. Like there was so many things like coming in for months that I was just like really grateful for. So people were just like, I was just numb for about a month. And then month three rolls around and then I started to get angry.
When did you post?
After, so everyone knew I was getting close.
Yes,
to having
we were
him.
Waiting.
Like, so people were texting me and asking me like, is he here yet? Is he here yet? And so I was like, instead of responding to everybody, so I posted that same day he was born, I think like 3 or 4 hours later.
Okay.
And I just posted it because I didn't want to respond to everybody's 100%. Text of being like, because you kind of feel guilt, like even afterwards when people would tell me they were pregnant, I like didn't want to, like I felt bad that they had to tell me they were pregnant, you know what I mean, because I wasn't pregnant and I just had gone through this traumatic thing, or you know what I mean, like I felt bad.
Well, I remember, like I vividly remember, I'm sure you do too, Kenzie, like I vividly remember where me and Kenzie were driving to California. And Alicia called us and she was like, you guys. And we're like, what? And she's like, Meg lost her baby. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, Meg. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, Meg had her baby and he's dead. And I was like, me and Kenzie just looked at each other and we just immediately started bawling. And
I was sobbing.
The rest of the drive home to California, we were dead quiet. We were just like,
I like didn't even want to go.
No, we were like, what can we do? Like how... You just feel like when you know somebody and you're like close to somebody, it's just like how, like it doesn't feel real. And I'm sure obviously you felt that a million times worse, but like we were just
like really helpless.
Yeah.
Like obviously like it's not us. Like,
right.
There's nothing we can do.
Right.
But what do you think was like the most helpful thing that people did during that like numbing time? Like if you could give someone like a piece of advice, like if their friend had a stillborn, like what piece of advice would you give them?
Because we reached out to Kelsey because we knew she was like close to you. Uh-huh. And like, what can we do? Like,
yeah.
Can we set up a GoFundMe? Can we like,
can we send her something?
Yeah.
Is there anything we can do? Like,
yeah.
You just want to help.
And I actually remember, and I like didn't really text anybody, but I remember getting something from your whole family. And I think you guys sent me like flowers and a blanket. And
sent you some Serenone.
Uh-huh. And then you guys, I feel like later on, sent someone in your family too had sent me like some keepsake.
Yes.
I actually still don't think I've ever been like, oh, thanks guys for sending me that.
You have.
Did I? Okay.
Yes, 100% you did.
I like remember that like people just were like, just knowing people were like thinking of me. And then like people that like are in your close circle, like Chandler's sister and her husband literally moved into our house for a month. Oh. And that was heaven sent because Chandler and I grieved differently, right? I just didn't want to talk to anybody, including him. Like, I just was like, don't talk to me. Like, I'll sit on the couch and I'll be here, but like, I don't want to talk. But like, he needed people. yeah, he needed people. And so having them there accepting dinners, and like, she cleaned my house every day. I don't think I folded laundry. Like, she did laundry. She like really stepped, like, so this is like in your like family, like they stepped in so much, and it worked out really well because something happened with her job and her fingerprints, but she couldn't work for a month. So she had a month off and like literally spent the entire month with us. And it was just so helpful to have people there, even though I think it was easier for people to kind of like avoid us.
Time,
yes.
Yeah.
Not avoid us, but they just, people don't know what to say. But like realizing that you don't even have to say anything, but just to be there in it was so helpful because like Chandler was able, you know, to like laugh and like to watch shows with my brother, like with his brother-in-law, and like, and it was good for me to like see like normalness.
Were you ever angry at him? Like,
no.
Oh, good.
No, he put, I mean, he was so good to me because you're still healing. I tore. I don't even know what to degree because like, I didn't ask, and they didn't tell me.
So probably a good amount.
All I know is I was like healing down there, and he was doing all that and more, like taking care of me. So it was good to like have people there to also like take care of him because I was emotionally unavailable. And I feel like our grief, like I was, like I said, the first month was the worst. And then when I went back to work and stuff, it started to get a little bit better. And then like, I
was,
feel
work,
like,
was work helpful for you? Like, I yeah, remember when you nervous. Said you were coming back, I was the first one in our family, I think, to go you see were. You. And I was terrified. Like, I was yeah. like, what do I say? What
yeah.
do I do? Does she want to talk about no, it?
Yeah.
I think it was Kendall. Remember, Kendall texted all of us and was like, guys, what do I say to Meg?
No, I'm she going was going in. The same day as me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think was, that's right.
Kendall's not super in touch with her emotions.
She doesn't show them.
Yeah, so she was like, what if she starts crying? Like, what do I do? We're like, give her a hug.
I love Kendall. Well,
and I remember just being in there and I was like, I just like had the feeling, I'm like, just tell me about Nash. Like, I yeah. want to know. Like,
and I loved talking about him after because that, like, it – when people like, and so I lost some people, which I totally expected, but I feel like I lost a few people because they didn't know what to say to me,
yes.
which totally fair. I didn't want to like, and again, it's like, okay, like I don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable.
But also, that's, yeah.
Yeah. And so that was fine. Like seeing all my old clients and them talking about it was totally fine. It was the new people that would come in and then be like, do you have any kids? And I'm like, oof, do I want to ruin your day?
You're like, oh, you're new here.
Yeah.
Welcome.
I'm like, should I?
You're new.
No, literally, I'm, like, in my head, I have, like, this, like, 5-second battle of, like, do I just say no
and
shut it down? Or do I just say, like, we're trying? Or do I tell them about Nash? You know what I mean? Like, it literally all goes through my head. I'm, like, okay, how do I want this to go? And honestly, I've said all of them. So yeah. It's, like, kind of just been.
Depends on the person.
Depends on moment. The person. Depends on the mood I'm in. Yes. But I loved talking about him at first. And to be honest with you, too, I was, like, I started reaching out to people that had lost babies. And I was thinking, like, oh, this, like, I'll get pregnant again and that'll help. And then, like, you know, I was thinking people get pregnant in their 6 weeks all the time. That was my thought process after Nash.
Well, you're like, there has to be something good that comes out of this,
yeah.
right? Like
yeah.
there has to be.
And you're ready for a baby.
Yeah.
Like that was like my first question 9 months ago.
Yeah. When I like, after I had him, I was like, well,
you asked me at that appointment. Like,
I was like, when
did
I try
you get
again?
Your period? And I was like, Meg,
I
like,
was just freaking psycho.
I was like, not to like 9 months, but I didn't yeah. want to tell you that.
Yeah.
I'm like,
because I didn't get it back for a long time, for like 5 months.
Yeah. Was Chandler ready to try?
He was just like, and I feel so sad for him because he was just like, I just like want my wife back. And I was like, well, you want your wife back? I need a baby. So I was like, no, genuinely, yeah. that was like my thought process. I was like, well, this is the situation.
The only thing that's going to heal me is to have a baby.
Yes. And looking back at those months, I was a psychopath because if I wasn't crying about Nash, I was crying about wanting another baby. Like,
which granted, I mean, you're grieving.
Yeah.
Like that's.
Yeah. I was seeing medians. I was like, I was just trying to get like hope.
100%.
You know what I mean?
You're like grasping for
anything.
Like all hope is gone. The right. worst thing that could happen happened.
And not that it makes it any better or easier. Like, but it's your first baby too.
Yeah.
Like you're like, how?
Yeah.
How do you keep going?
Yeah. And that was the thing is I just was like, I needed that so bad. And so, which I don't, and I kind of like jumped into that actually. So Chandler thought I was crazy because I was like booking these people to like come and like tell me my life. like to come to our house?
Anything.
I think I felt like I remember telling you guys about it a little
bit.
You told me. I was just like, you know what? I was like, she wants a baby. I was like,
seriously be like.
I never was like, Meg's crazy.
Never. No, I was like, she's got to do what she's got
to
do.
Yeah, we were always like, dude, you do you. Like, whatever you have to do to like feel okay,
yeah,
do it.
Yeah. And I like these, who even knows? I don't even know if I believe in mediums, but they're kind of freaking crazy. But like they would come over and I'd be like, I wouldn't say anything, but I'd like get to the point. They'd be like, okay, like I'm feeling this. I'm like, okay, yeah, I lost a baby. They're like, okay, that's what it is. And I'm like, okay, when am I going to have another one? Like that's literally, all I wanted to know.
Like, I don't know how you were going to tell me, but tell me that.
Yeah. Which ironically, I saw one in like May, hadn't got my period yet back. And I started like going to my doctor and I was like, you need to help me get pregnant because this is partially your fault. So I was like, 100%. So he gave me Clomid, wasn't working, but it did help me get my cycle back. And so I remember I was like, I'm getting this lady here. She told me, she's like, I'm feeling good energy about July. July comes, not pregnant. I was pissed.
You call her up. You're like, I'm like,
that's not right.
You're like, you're giving my money back.
Yeah.
Screw you.
Yeah. But hindsight now, I'm like, Okay, July.
Okay, cool.
But at the time I was like, this is so stupid. And so we started seeing, and I don't know if you want me to jump into this, but we started seeing fertility doctors because, and just bless Chandler. Cause I was like, started doing IUIs back to back to back to back. Like I did three of them. They all failed. And this was all in the span of like, I grieved 4 months, started meeting with my doctor. And then like 6 months I started doing the IUIs.
And you hadn't had your period back yet?
It was really irregular.
Okay.
Which was interesting because I had a regular period my entire life. And then all of a sudden postpartum. But trauma, stress.
Well, in hindsight, like normally and naturally you like.
You don't.
You don't. So yeah. Like, but in your mind, and nobody's going to tell you that. Like, Meg, let your body, like nobody's about to tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like you had to do what you had to do.
Yeah.
Did they, sorry, I'm backing up, I just thought of a question. Do they know what happened to Nash?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I never even said that. The cord was wrapped around his neck 3 times.
Oh my gosh.
They couldn't see. I'm so glad you asked that.
They couldn't see it in the ultrasound. They actually didn't know until they pulled him out. And then he was like, the doctor was like, that's the tightest I've ever seen a cord wrapped around a baby's neck in my career. He had been in practice for a long time. So I'm like, well, we take that for what it is. Sure. But he said that to me and he was like, there's no need to do an autopsy. Like it was the cord. I didn't even think that I mentioned that part.
No, I just thought it in my head. I was like, yeah.
No, I'm glad you did.
I think people would ask.
Yeah. And also too, which I'll just, sorry, like just jumping. But I think that is what started to happen at 36 weeks is the cord started to wrap around his neck.
So his movement was decreasing.
Depending
on his positioning. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they could still get a heart rate.
They could still get the heart. And they couldn't even when they did the ultrasound with the blood flow, they still couldn't tell it was around his neck because they like, think about it. They're like 9 months and they're like, their chin is to their chest.
Well,
his
and
head down.
And I remember I've seen in ultrasounds because I will ask like, what is that? Or what are you looking at? Mm-hmm. And they've told me like, that's the cord. And it looks like bubbles. Like it looks like bubbles. And so, but you can't really follow the bubbles.
You can't follow it. It's just sporadic.
You see like little, I'm like, what is that? Like, I was like, is there something? Yeah.
They just labeled it a cord accident. But other than that, I mean, it was like my placenta was healthy. He was healthy. He was healthy because
he was big and healthy and
chubby. And
did they tell you, like if he would have made it, like would he have been like, did they try to like tell you any of that?
They did say, I mean, even if we would have caught it, we don't know how much damage would have been done to his brain. And you know, that's, I would have taken him however he came.
100%.
But I told, like, later on when I was back into like a better state of mind, I remember telling Chandler, like, if that was his, I wouldn't want that for my child, you know.
Sorry, I'm backing up because I have another question about birth. When you birthed him, did they take him right away or did they just set him on you?
They wrapped him up.
They wrapped him up right away.
Yeah, because of the skin.
They didn't want you to like.
Had like started to like peel.
Yep.
Which was.
Did you ever unwrap him?
Chandler did. But like there's actually like a few pictures of him like doing it. And you can just see me in the background, like looking away because I just couldn't see it. But I was really grateful he was in that field because he's.
Oh yeah. Imagine one of our husbands. DJ would know, like that's a blessing.
Yeah.
Like that he,
it was,
you know, it wasn't the first.
And now that you're like, you can start to look back and see all these little little things that were like tiny miracles in a really hard situation.
Yeah. It's like been very eye opening. And you know what too? Like, I mean, kind of on a different note, but like it's made me, you go through something tragic and then people start giving you like when they go through something tragic, they're like, oh, but you know how that feels. And I'm like, oh, shoot, I guess I do.
Yes, I do.
And I was so angry at, like, truthfully, and I was really angry at God during this point because I was like, I am, at the time, I am 23 years old.
Yeah.
And I have to wait now a lifetime. Like, it was to meet my baby. And I just was like, this sucks.
Like, it's not fair.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, I'm too young to know this kind of pain. Like, no, that was what was going through my head. And
but you
are,
definitely.
Yeah. And then, you know, things happen, but definitely made me more empathetic to just loss in general. I always tell people, all my friends, I think I told you this too, like even you go through like a miscarriage, like a loss is still a loss, whether it's at 40 weeks, whether it's a 2-year-old or at 6 weeks, like it still hurts because you still get excited for something. I just had a friend that like went through like a late term miscarriage. And I just was like, I told her, I was like, that's still your baby. It's still, they still count.
And like, I feel like if I was in that situation, I would be like, well, it's nothing compared to what you went
That's
through.
That's what everyone always says. But I'm like, no, it's still a loss. It's still a loss.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I appreciate when people say that. Like, yes, it was like probably a little bit more traumatic, but
definitely,
like it still is like you're still grieving something that you once, like, because when you find out you're pregnant, you immediately start thinking like of their life.
You do.
At least I do.
I start like, thinking of, yeah. I mean, and I was going to ask you like, does it get a little harder on like all of his firsts? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the first things that you picture with your baby, like their holidays and their month milestones and like everything is just like, are those days especially hard for you?
Yeah. And
and I remember you saying, I just want a new baby so that I don't have to like think about missing his first.
Yeah.
I can talk about like a new baby's first. Uh-huh. Like I remember you saying that to me, like, I just want a baby by Christmas.
Yeah.
Cause then I don't have to have Nash's
like
first
Christmas.
Christmas
without him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was super. And I had seen that like other people lose babies and then get pregnant 6 weeks later. And I was like, oh, that'll be me. And then like every week that didn't happen. And like, and I'm sure like my family listened to this, but like my sister-in-law, and I felt really bad for her because she had a baby 4 weeks before I had Nash.
Oh.
And so that was really hard because
it's like not her fault.
It's not her fault. But like, I was so excited to raise them together. And like, I wouldn't say until recently, probably until January of this year, I started to like now have a bond with her baby. But at first I like couldn't hold her. I remember like when she was like 3 months old. So like 2 months after Nash, my mom like handed her to me in like Texas Roadhouse. And I'm just like sobbing in the booth because I'm just like holding this baby that I was thinking like, I was like, Nash would be this size. Like, they'd be the same size.
Like, this is what he would be right now.
Yeah. And so it was really hard. And I feel bad because we pretty much avoided anyone that had a baby for probably the first, like, nine months.
Yes. You guys did a lot of traveling.
We did. We traveled, which I think, like, because that was hard, too, because I had connected with a lot of moms that had lost babies, but no one really had lost their first baby. A lot of them had, like, their other kids to kind of not distract, but like you can't go into a cave when you have four other kids running around.
Or even one choice.
So that was hard, but I just told Chandler, I was like, I need something to look forward to every single month. And then
100% that would be me.
That would be Jamie.
Yeah.
That'd be you too.
That would 100% be
and
me.
And we travel.
And I would grieve like Chandler. I would want as many people around me as humanly possible.
Yeah. To like not feel the things. So we did. We went so many places, which like hindsight now, I'm so grateful. And then so November would have been 10 months, right? Yeah. 10 months. And then in November, I had done all that stuff for fertility. Going back to that, I'd done all that stuff for fertility. Nothing came of it. I was starting to like talk to my doctor about just doing IVF. He said I didn't need it, but I was just like, let's just do this. At this point, I'm dreading his 1 year. Right.
You're just like, please.
Yes.
Please,
I'm like, literally just help me get pregnant before his birthday. So he's like, okay, whatever. So we take a break in November, which is actually the month that we ended up getting pregnant. And we didn't do anything besides just, I had two leftover Clomid pills, took my Clomid pills.
Isn't that crazy, man? Yeah. Like, yeah.
And I vividly remember being at the appointment and you told me that Chandler was like, Meg, like, we've got to just take a break. Like, let's just take a 1 month break. Let's just see. And you were like, no, like, there's no way.
It took a lot of convincing. The only thing that convinced me, I was like, okay, like, financially, I'm like, if we're about to drop $20,000 on IVF, I'll take a break. Like, obviously all the IUIs we just did didn't work anyway.
So I was fine.
Yeah.
Weren't you guys in Alaska when you found out you were pregnant?
I was in New York.
Oh.
Yeah. We were in New York. It was actually my birthday.
Oh.
I know. But I had I'd woken up that day and I was, and my Chandler always tells this to me because I was like pissed off because I thought I got my period. And so I was like.
Just in a bad mood.
I was like, God.
I'm done.
Rude.
Yeah.
To give me my period on my birthday.
In New York.
In New York when I'm like somewhat hopeful. Yeah, I might.
Like, screw you.
You couldn't pregnant. Wait till we got home?
No, literally. That was my thought process. And then that night, we came home, and I was like, this is kind of an interesting period. And I, like, called my doctor because that was the month that I was supposed to start birth control because you do birth control for a month before you start your stims. Yep. So I called my doctor, and I was like, do you want me to start this birth control or what? And he was like, well, what? Like, you know, so I told him, I was like, I'm spotting. It's weird. Nothing, like, normal. But, and he's like, well, take a test. And I was like, okay. So I had brought in one test. I brought it in my suitcase, took the test, hopped in the shower because I was like, this is going to be negative.
Yeah, I don't even want to look at it.
Yeah, hopped in the shower, got out, like literally like the clearest two lines I've ever seen. I didn't even put the cap on and I just chucked it at Chandler. And he was like, that's disgusting. But I was just like, is that positive?
You're like, no. Like,
yeah, I was like, that looks positive. And he's like, no, like there's no way. That's what he kept telling me. So he's like, there's no way. And I was like, well, it looks positive to me.
Well, it is.
At this point, it's like 11 o'clock. So he like goes and gets like the digital test. And that's the one I posted on my Instagram that everyone's like, oh, that's so cute. And I was like, yeah, you didn't see the first one where he was like, you know what I mean? Yes. But, and he was just telling me the whole time, like, don't get your hopes up. Cause I had gotten a false. So my third IUI, like I had gotten, like there was two lines, but then there wasn't. You know how that is.
Yes.
Like yep. the, yeah. Yep. Like you, like, what do they call it? Like
chemical?
Yeah.
Your body is thinks, acting like it's pregnant, but it's not.
There's nothing there.
Yes. The hormones are like lining up, but there's nothing there.
Which makes sense because you're taking, like I was taking progesterone. I was taking so many things. So it wasn't like shocking. But he had said, he's like, you know, you've had that happen before. So we took like five tests and they were all positive. And I was like, a Christmas miracle.
Was it over Christmas?
It was like the beginning of December.
Okay.
We found out. And at that point I was like 4 days late, which is why everything like literally was like popping up so fast.
Like, yeah, you were.
So there. You go to the doctor.
So I go to the doctor. So we go on a cruise for Christmas because I was like, screw Christmas. I don't want to feel
I
this.
I don't want to be home.
Yes. And I had booked this in October. So I was still in my like angry phase. Era. Yeah.
And so
I was just like pissed. I was like, I'm not doing this. I told my family, I was like, sorry, I'm out. So,
that's literally what Jamie would do.
Yeah.
Jamie would leave and I wouldn't see her for like 6 months.
Oh, yeah. Nobody would see me or talk.
She would be like a hobbit living somewhere in the wilderness.
And at this point we had told everybody we were pregnant. Like everybody knew we were pregnant. So I was like 6 weeks pregnant on the cruise. I had a dream that I was in sonogram and that it was triplets. And I literally woke up and I told Chandler, I was like, I just had a dream it was triplets. He's like,
what are we going to do?
Yeah. He's like, let's hope not. But you're probably just stressed about the ultrasound. Cause we had it scheduled for January 2nd.
Okay.
So I would have been like 8 weeks and, and then I shook it off, whatever, like 2 days later, I had another dream, same thing, sonogram twins. And I was like, oh, I just had a dream as twins. I was like, Scott, try and tell me that he's going to send me two. But again, I'm like, it's on my mind. I'm thinking about it all the time. I'm already stressed. Every morning I'm stressed about something going wrong.
Yes.
So we go in literally deja vu, like does the, you know, ultrasound and first, there's just the one baby, and then all of a sudden, like, I saw a flash. I was like, she's like, it's twins. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Chandler's like, no way. Like, there's literally no way. That's the first time ever in my life, too, that I, like, had a dream that, like, actually happened.
Yeah.
And so, I, like, the first thing I said to her, I was like, wait, there's not three.
I had another dream, too.
I would have died if it was three. I was like, there's not three. She's like, no, just two. But, yeah. It was twins. And I seriously was like, I just was like sobbing because at this point, like I've had friends, you know, like get pregnant. My sister-in-law that had a baby had gotten pregnant on accident. Like people were getting pregnant on accident. And I was like, what is happening?
I'm trying so hard.
I'm trying like, so hard.
I remember also, I always remember these things like being at my appointment with you and I accidentally told you I was pregnant. And I just remember calling Kenzie after and I was like, I literally accidentally told her because we were talking about taking progesterone. And I was like, yeah, well, this time around. And then you like, kind of looked at me and I was like, yeah, by the way.
Didn't I ask you? I was like.
You're like, wait, did you just say this time around? And I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, yeah, I'm pregnant. And then I didn't want to tell, like.
I know.
It's just, it's hard.
People don't, yeah.
You don't know, but it's like people were getting pregnant and having babies. Mm-hmm. Like
my one sister-in-law that had her daughter that was really close to stage. She waited to tell me. I actually felt bad. She waited to tell me till she was 20 weeks because she felt so bad that she was pregnant. And that's like, I felt like I told Taylor too. I was like, people are just like walking on eggshells around me, which rightfully so. I'd probably do the same thing, but I felt horrible about it. I really did. Cause I wanted to be happy for people. And I was, it wasn't that I wasn't unhappy for people.
You just weren't happy for
yourself.
But
then I would hear it. And then I'd probably like, go cry. You know exactly. What I mean?
And I would probably,
you weren't mad at them, but you were like, why?
Yes. It was just like all related of like, what is like happening? Like why is this not happening for me? So then when I like found out like it was twins, I just was like literally it healed so much of my grieving soul, but it also just like healed so much of like my, which sounds horrible, but it really did. Like transparently, it healed a lot of my relationship of like being angry with how my life was playing out in like with God, if that makes sense. Like it was it was a hard year in that aspect too, because Chandler was leaning into that and I was pissed.
You were pushing back.
Yeah. It wasn't that I was like questioning anything. I just was like angry.
Yeah. Rightfully so.
And like when people would say things to me like he's perfect, it's God's plan. It's like, yeah, no, like I know that, but like, I don't want to hear it. Like, you know what
also
I mean?
Is it?
Also, like it doesn't help at all to hear those things. And so
I remember you always saying like God, you better give me something good. Like you did.
You got to make up
for
it.
You've got to make up for this. Yeah. Like I would 100% be like that.
And I would be too.
Yeah. And I think that's just like the natural reaction. But now having like when I found out it was, you know, like just getting pregnant again and having twins and like having that little bit of hope again made me be able to like look back at the last year and be like, I don't think this was like it made me be able to change the perspective of like, you know what, like what an honor that I have like a perfect soul in my family. You know what I mean? But I was not anywhere like, so people that are going through it, like I was not anywhere close to that until something good happened, which is always how it is. Like you have to wait for something good to happen. But I also too, like, I don't feel like he held that against me in that sense. Like it was just like, it just was the first time that I was able to like take a step back and like look at that whole situation, the whole year, and just realize like there was more to this, and there was nothing, like it wasn't that I felt forgotten or like hated or like anything like that. It was just like now I can look back and just be almost not grateful for the experience because it's still traumatizing and I still wish Nash was here, but I really have, we've grown and we grew in a good way. Like my husband and I were able to come together, not apart. And that happens a lot in like grief.
Yeah, it does.
And so now I think too, it'll make me a better parent. Not that people that don't go through loss aren't, but it makes you really grateful for that baby when you do get your rainbow baby.
I mean, yeah, when you get that baby, like someone who's been waiting, and like I see it with one of our friends who like tried for years and years and then she could never have a baby and they adopted. I feel like she just... Mm-hmm. Loves that baby just a little, yeah. Like, just a little different.
Like you're more patient and just, like, yeah.
Just, like,
grateful.
Yeah. You just, like, soak every single second because you've been through, been through without him.
Mm-hmm. And that's when I told people it was twins and they're like, oh, you're going to have your hands full. I'm like, yes, but, like, you have to know, like.
That's all I've ever wanted.
That's all we wanted. The month after Nash, I was, like, literally I'd wake up in the middle of the night because I felt like my body still was, like, I would wake up and panic and be like, where's my baby? Like, where, he's not next to me. Like, it was, like. It felt wrong. And I would like cry to Chandler and I'd be like, we should be waking up every hour. We should be doing this. We should be in.
Like you long for those.
Yes.
Nights.
I wanted them so bad. And so when people tell me that, I'm like, yeah, but like, do I think it's going to be absolutely crazy and hard? Yes. But I also think because we lost Nash, it has like opened like this. And because we, again, I say struggled because for me, it feels like we've been trying for a baby for 2 years. But like,
because you don't have a baby in your arms.
I didn't have one. But like, hindsight, I mean, struggled to get pregnant. 10 months of trying after like losing baby to other people, that's not a lot. But for me, it was
every
like,
every single month is hard.
It was really hard when that's all I like desperately wanted. So like, I don't know. I just think it'll be really good for Chandler and I think, and we've had moments too where we've felt him. I feel like I know his personality to a point, which is hard to explain. I'm like, people probably think I'm crazy, but we have moments like that. Chandler and I will be like, we'll be driving somewhere. And I'm like, I feel like Nash would have liked airplanes or like something like that. Yeah. Like, I feel like any thought that comes to our head, he always said that too. Like any thought that comes to our head, I just feel like is him.
I was going to ask you like what little like things are like little. Yeah. What little things like remind you of Nash? Like I know that sunsets are big for you.
Sunsets are big. One of the medians that we said, so Chandler was like, is obsessed with soccer and she didn't know that, but she was like, Nash wants you to like put a soccer ball on his gravestone. And so we put like anytime, and Chandler's like so excited for that with the girls. And so like, we put like a little soccer on his little thing, like things like that, that I'm like, oh, this is like, yeah. Like Chandler always like, I feel like he would have liked planes there. Like he's like, I would have loved to see him, you know, like in his little Nash uniform, like going to the Suns game, like things like that. Yeah. But like, I don't know. I really am grateful because I really have like felt him. And I think like you guys could probably relate to that too. Like you almost like when you're going through that, like you can like you feel your baby. Yeah. You know what I mean?
They were literally part of you.
Yeah.
And he's still your baby.
Yeah.
Like whether he's here physically or not, he's
yeah
always will be your baby.
Yeah. And I think too, like just I know like in our next kids, I just feel like we're going to like each of them will have an attribute of his.
And you know you'll what I mean? Like know which attribute
that's
they
what
are.
I think too. You will. You totally will.
I think so too.
Well, and like you know Nash. Mm-hmm. Like you will get up to heaven and immediately you will be like, that's my son.
Yeah.
Like, and God is giving you those like emotions and feelings now mm-hmm. so that you can know him,
yeah.
you know, and you'll get up there and be reunited and like, you'll feel like you just know exactly who he is,
yeah.
even though he's not here now. Yeah. Like you do know him, like that's your child. Like
for sure.
You'll always know him.
Yeah.
Also you said girls.
Oh yeah. I'm having girls.
How are you feeling about that? Cause I know
you wanted a boy.
You wanted a boy.
I did want a boy.
And I was always shocked. Like,
yeah.
obviously not going through it.
Yeah.
So I was like, really? Like, she wants a boy? Like, you know?
Like, yeah. I feel like that would be harder to, like, put a boy
another
in, like,
boy.
Nash's clothes.
Okay, so that was part of it is I didn't want to, like, switch out his stuff. I didn't want to go through. I didn't want to change his room. Not that I would have had to, I have to either way. But, like, I didn't want to, like, pack away his stuff. I just wanted to, like, which now, again, it's kind of like I feel like it happened for a reason because now I'm like, oh, that's kind of like what I have felt more like this is like not a replacement, but like
but would
what
you
I
have
yes.
felt
that way. And so I thought for sure when it was twins, I was like, it's going to be a boy girl. Like it's going to be one of each.
Yeah.
But when we found out it was girl, I was like, no, you know what? This is good. I do think that I do feel like there's like another boy up there. I don't know how many kids we'll have. We're just going to see how it goes. But
Chandler's like, yeah, Megan, stop.
No, yeah. I'm like, I told him, I was like, I'm done for a minute. So, but you know, like I do feel like we'll get that at some point, but I think it'll be good to have the break of having this be like completely different
mm-hmm.
and like completely different timing. Like they're like, I'm due in July and like to have that timing be so off is yes. actually kind of a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm not like reliving it.
So that's why you said July.
That's why I said the median. When she told me she had good energy about July, I was thinking, okay, I'll get pregnant in July. No, but my babies are due at the end of July. And
that's
I was like,
crazy.
I know.
That's kind of crazy.
Isn't it like so comforting to think that like Nash is up there with the twins?
With them. Yeah.
Like
their big yeah. brother.
I like, know. That's what I think about all the time. I'm like, and Chandler says that. He's like, he's probably just like rallying them all together. I'm like, how many are you picturing up there? But you know what I mean? Like, I just like, I think that that's like, I feel like, they're just going to be sent straight from him. And I have felt too, like that, like this pregnancy has felt different. And whenever I have moments of like anxiety, which happen often now that I've started to like feel him kick, it's been like a whole nother realm of anxiety, but,
like good and bad, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Good and bad. Cause now I'm like, oh, where are you? You know? But I feel like Nash is just like going to protect my womb. Not that I like, you know what I mean? But I just like, it's like, he's there. And it's
very special.
Yeah. It feels different. I don't feel like a surrogate this time.
You feel like,
I feel like
you're going to bring these babies home.
Yeah.
Meg, I'm so happy for you. We're so excited. And I'm so grateful that you came on and told your story.
So
I know it's like not an easy story to tell, but we love you. And we really appreciate
you. I love you guys and the whole family. It's the best.
Megan does our mom and both our sisters and us.
And our whole family.
Every single
literally
one
everyone.
Of us.
And I just have to say, I was thinking about it because I was like, when did I start doing? I started doing your hair first. Mm-hmm. And you had like 10,000 followers. That was like 3 years ago.
Yep. I
just
remember,
look at you two now.
Because I saw somebody come to you and get their hair done by you and they like got a deal and I was like, oh, I really want extensions, but they're so expensive. Like, I was like, I wonder if she'd like work with me. And you were like, oh my gosh. Yeah. And I was like
best thing. And now look, it's literally, but that was literally
years ago.
It was years
right
ago.
When you had Rossi. She was like, was Monty's size.
I just had Rossi. And then I was like, Kenzie, you've got to go. Cause Kenzie was looking for a hair girl. I was like, you've got to go to Meg. And then we convinced my mom and then both my sisters. And my family is literally obsessed with you.
We'll try to schedule all of our appointments on Monday.
No, literally. And it's so fun. I like, every time I see anyone in your family, I'm like, it's exciting.
Well, we love you and we're so grateful and I'm so excited. And we'll have to have you back on when you have the twins too.
I know. It'll be a whole other realm.
I'm literally so excited for you.
You're going to be the best mom. Like, seriously. It's going to be.
I can't wait.
I'm so excited.
It literally makes me emotional. Oh, me and kids will talk about it and just cry.
No, I literally just like cry thinking about it. It's like not even funny. But you guys are the best. We really do love you.
I love you guys.
Yes.
And the whole fam.
I can't wait.
Seriously, I'm grateful that hair brought us together.
I am. Thank goodness. Honestly, it's true though. But.
Yeah, thank you for being on and
a little bit longer of an episode today.
Sorry.
No, do not be sorry. That's what we wanted. We wanted all the details and
thank you. Should we close it out?
We should close it out. Yeah. Okay. We always close it out. I'm sure you know. Meg listens.
I do.
Meg listens. We always close it out with our guests and they join us in on the Codependent Podcast. So when we say we'll see you next week on the You'll Join In Codependent Podcast. So
not that hard. You got it.
Okay.
You got it. But thanks girls for listening and we love you guys and hope you have the best week. And as always, we will see you next week on the
Codependent Podcast.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.